Welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. This series will question the assumption that people are psychologically broken and need to be fixed. We will talk about how seeing people as innately healthy will change all of your interactions and outcomes. This is a true paradigm shift, and it simplifies the entire process of dealing with mental distress and allows for more profound and immediate changes.
Aloha, and welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. I'm Christine Heath, coming to you from the most beautiful place on the planet, Hawaii. And I am so fortunate to spend my time with my best friend and colleague and mentor and the most loving, brilliant person I know.
Wow.
those two are frequently not in the same sentence. But she definitely is a special person, and I'm so grateful that she's my friend.
Well, I'm Judy Sedgman, and since I'm on the call, I'm assuming you're talking about me, and it's very embarrassing. But I love you, Chris, and I'm very thrilled to be able to work with you. It's been a real joy for me, and it's really enhanced. I feel like it's enhanced both of our learning to do these things together. I feel like we keep coming up with ideas, and then we're surprised sometimes at what we see ourselves, you know, so it's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how much I learn by doing this. So thank you all for listening to the podcast that we can still keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because it certainly has made a difference in me as a person, and also as just a person trying to share this, it kind of makes it more simple. That's the feedback we get from a lot of people, is that they like these podcasts because it's so practical, simple, and ordinary. Right. And that would be me.
And me. It's like that.
Yeah, we try to keep our work practical to life. Otherwise, who cares about it? I mean, you can sit back and, you know, go and live on the top of a mountain somewhere and theorize about happiness and calmness. But to get right into the thick of things and in life and be able to keep your bearings and be happy and feel fulfilled at our age is kind of amazing.
Yeah. It's, you know, wonderful.
Yeah. It's that, you know, sometimes I think, especially, I don't know, I may be dating myself here, but sometimes when people are younger, and I probably was like this too, we kind of think we know everything. Yeah. And we don't need to learn things. We don't need to see things differently. And boy, that's just a really big block, and was a block in my mind for sure.
Yeah. It's a trap.
Yeah, it is a trap.
And you're just stuck, you know, that's it.
Right.
And I think that's why people burn out, is they think, well, you know, I've got the degree, I know what I know, I've taken these courses, and then they get bored because they're not learning.
That's right. It's not an alive kind of thing, you know, where you're constantly going deeper and challenging yourself. You just do the same, like in therapy, you do the same old thing with the client. They come in and you figure out what your little technique is. If you're doing trauma, now the thing is this trauma work. Mm-hmm. But after a while, you kind of lose that excitement feeling because it's the same old thing, right?
Yeah, and it's the technique.
Yeah, I remember meeting these supervisors at a training I had to go to, and they said, oh, I don't do therapy anymore. It's too boring. I was like, what? How could this be boring? It was like, this is so exciting to me. That's how human beings create their reality. And what they create is fascinating.
Yeah, and how they change is fascinating. Everybody's different.
That's right. And that they can change, that anybody could change.
Right.
And so I'm like a dog on a bone about that. And so one of the things we thought we should talk about is in the world of psychology, in the world of coaching, therapy and coaching, that's kind of the thing that I do, is that there's like people have approaches. Like, I just got an email from a woman who wants to do a practicum at my site from one of the graduate schools here. And she said, I'm eclectic, experiential, cognitive, blah, blah, blah. She's like, you know, and she kind of threw in just about everything she wanted. And it's kind of like people will do that sometimes with three principles. They'll say, well, I'm a three principles therapist. Well, I'm a three principles coach. And then it becomes about teaching the principles or doing techniques to. Now people are doing all these techniques to be in the present moment and, you know, different things that people are trying to do because they don't see deep enough that what we're talking about is not a therapy. It's not a form of coaching. Mm-hmm. It is an understanding of how human beings' minds, our minds work.
Right.
How we create our reality. That's all it is. It's not like, doesn't need evidence-based anything because we're trying to talk about how it works. Now, how you do that in the world and what you see to do with that is going to come out differently in different situations mm-hmm. with different people and mm-hmm. everybody's going to be different. I remember one time we had an intern that came and she went around and sat in with every staff person. And she said to me afterwards, she said, you know, it's really interesting because every one of your staff talks in a totally different way. Mm-hmm. They're all pointing to the same thing.
Right.
And that's kind of that once you understand how it works, there are things you would do and things you would not do probably given, mm-hmm. but you wouldn't do the same thing with everybody.
Right.
You wouldn't be, everybody comes in and this is what the problem is and this is what we're going to fix because mm-hmm. what you do has to do with the interaction that you have with the person, the soul to soul connection, the heart to heart connection, mm-hmm. the presence that you have and the health that you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Because that's what helps you to see whatever the person needs to see to get beyond where they're stuck in life. Now, that's really different than being a cognitive therapist or doing meditation. Like, you might do things from any of those things because anything that helps somebody's got some bit of truth to it. But mm-hmm. then we kind of get off the truth train and we get into techniques and rituals trying to create that mm-hmm. through thought rather than seeing that missing piece is that we are all innately healthy. And the principles create that experience of mental well-being, and then we think. Mm-hmm. And how we think and how we use, like one of my friends called me and her son was having trouble in college and he was struggling with some things and she said, well, you know, he's really anxious. Maybe I should get medication. Maybe I should do this. And I said, well, what you need to help him to see is that, because he said, there's something wrong with my mind. I said, well, there's something not wrong with his mind. There's something wrong with the way he's using the gift of thought. And that is always what the problem is. Mm-hmm. So if people start to see that, then they start to see the different thoughts that come up and what happened and things that happened to them in the past. Mm-hmm. But they can get beyond it because they see that that's just a memory, a thought they're carrying through time. Or they might see that they have an addiction, like, oh my God, am I thinking about my food has gotten crazy and I'm eating sweets and I'm not healthy. And mm-hmm. okay, well, then they wake up and they get back to themselves. It's like, oh, I just have to stop eating that. You know, the insights that people get are very simple. Mm-hmm. People will wake up and say, oh, I just need to stop drinking. And that happens to them.
Yes.
But at some point in time, it happens. It doesn't always happen like the first session. It doesn't always happen after 10 sessions. It doesn't always happen at all. I mean, people get caught up in their thinking, and we can't control that. But we can keep pointing them back to their health and trusting their wisdom that it will come through sooner or later. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's different in that way. It's not like, okay, you come in and I'm going to help you change the content of your thinking, which is what, yeah, or your behaviors, which is cognitive behavioral, because that's too late. If you think about it, you already thought it, right? Changing is like too late. Yeah. Recognizing that it was an insecure thought allows you to let go of it and does you don't take it personally.
That's really true. And, you know, it doesn't matter. I think sometimes people think, well, why would I even be interested in this if I'm not going to be a coach or a therapist or a social worker or whatever? But, you know, when back in the days when we all started, the few of us that first started listening to this, we came from all different walks of life. And what we saw was change in ourselves. What we saw is something happened in which we started to realize that we had health within us. We had access to wisdom. And we would do whatever we were doing differently. And like, I heard this from a psychiatrist and I thought, oh, well, this is a mental health practice. But then I started having ideas about, I was a business person. And, you know, I remember George Pransky saying one time, you know, the thing about wisdom, it kind of knows what to tell you. So he said, you know, like a basketball player is not going to get a symphony. He's going to get a basketball play. But, you know, whatever your interest is. So the first insights that I had nothing to do with mental health. It had to do with the way I was interacting with my clients and how seriously and personally I was taking their problems instead of recognizing their insecurity and talking. The first thing I realized is that you have to address the state of mind before you talk about the problem. Now, that was huge. And that was so different from business practices. Like, nobody cared about state of mind. If everybody was in a bad mood, you went ahead and had the meeting. You know, and it was just too bad. It didn't work out. Nobody knew anything about that. It was a completely different way of looking at business. That if a person was really upset, before you talked about why they were upset, you would address their state of mind. You would help them to calm down or to just, you know, relax for a minute. And when I saw that, I transformed my whole business. It was nothing to do with mental health. It had to do with getting along with people. I was working with doctors. It had to do with bedside manner. It had to do with, you know, how you handle difficult patients, how you deal with the grieving families, you know, interactions between doctors and hospitals and doctors and other people, dealing with your own ego and others' egos. It was not a practice of mental health. When I started working with my clients, I worked with my business. And all the insights I got were about doing my business better and seeing opportunities and seeing things in the world that I lived in. And that, I think people have gotten a little off track about that with the principles, honestly. And that when you start thinking of it as a therapy approach, or just a services approach or a coaching approach, you're thinking about the outcome and not about the truth. And the truth is that when you come to peace with the idea of the power of thought, when you realize that that is a gift and a power, it's the superpower of humanity, because we can create a reality every moment. we're creating it from the inside out. It's not that there's no world out there. It's that the way we see it is from us. You know, so that's why two people can go to the same movie and walk out and one of them loved it and the other one hated it. Well, they saw the same reality, but their thinking about it was entirely different. And that's realizing that that's all that's going on in the world, is all these people making up whatever they see from the state of mind they're in without any understanding at all that they're the thinker and they're creating it, is the problem. You know? No matter what whether you're teaching or being a dentist or a garbage collector or a cab driver or, you know, a construction worker, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It matters when you bring understanding into what you do. And how that changes your relationships with your coworkers and with other people and your ability to be in service and to be helpful and to be a team player and to not take things to heart and get upset and spoil things. And the second insights that I started having because I had a teenage child was about parenting. So I couldn't possibly have ideas about the mental health field because I didn't know anything about it. That would be like me being a basketball player and getting ideas about physics or something. It's like, no, that's not going to happen. But this is what I think we don't want to miss that we're not practicing a technique. We're sharing an understanding of how life works and how the brain works and how the mind works, and the difference that the brain is not the mind. The brain is the instrument of the mind. Mm-hmm. And we start to, when we start to see the power that we have as human beings to create and then think again, the first great change that took place in the world was when Dr. Roger Mills went into substandard housing project in Miami and took all these, it was riddled with drugs and crime and people were scared to be there and their kids were not safe and the kids were dropping out of school. And he worked with mothers because Roger had a belief that no mother wants their child not to have a better life than they've had. Mm-hmm. And so he started out just talking to what we came to call the Modelo mothers. Mm-hmm. And these women transformed that entire project. Like five women that he originally worked with caught on. They changed from within. Their families changed. Their friends saw what was happening for them and said, help us. What do you know that we don't know? They started talking with the police. The police came back because they saw that they could work with these people. Now there was all the hostility was gone. All these things changed. They weren't professional people. They weren't even educated. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to be educated to see the truth. Mm-hmm. And I think that we don't want to miss that this is not an approach or a practice or even a philosophy. It's an understanding, a profound understanding of the nature of how life is created within us. Mm-hmm. And how we're part of the whole creative process of life. Mm-hmm. And that
creates a philosophy, right, of how to treat people in therapy.
Right.
But that still has no techniques.
Right. Right?
Like I'm still looking for the health in people.
Right.
I'm still talking to the health in people. So what comes out of that understanding is your own, philosophy. Mm-hmm. And the evidence that philosophy is helpful.
Right, exactly. And everybody's different how we go about it. Like I love watching my friends work, because they'll say things and I'll think, oh my gosh, I never would have said that, but that was beautiful. Mm-hmm. But you're confident because you know that there's health there and that's the conversation. Mm-hmm. Right. And we always call it a partnership of health. It's right. Your health reaching out to and holding on to and talking to the health in the other person.
And
however,
yeah, if you come to our program, we have the Psychology Has It Backwards, the program, which is really kind of a group for to help people, not to help coaches teach mm-hmm. this better, but to help people see something different and have a nicer life. Mm-hmm. And that's so sometimes coaches come, sometimes therapists come, sometimes
students come.
I mean, but a lot of regular people also come who know there's something here that they can't see yet. Right. Right. And so what we do in that group is really, Judy and I operate totally differently in how we do group. It's, mm-hmm. we think it's a great combination. But you might go to somebody else and they would talk to you in a different way.
But we're all talking about the same thing.
We're all talking about the same thing. We're trying to help people. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to make money, although it's good to make money because you got to, take care of yourself in order to help other people. But we're not doing it for fame and fortune. We're doing it to help one other person. Yeah. As a relief from their suffering, man, mm-hmm. that's nothing better than that. I mean, gosh, what kind of a job is this? that you get to watch human beings awaken and stop suffering.
Yeah. I always tell people it's, I feel like I get up every day and watch people watch flowers bloom. Mm-hmm. It's like watching slow motion, you know, those beautiful slow motion photographs of flowers coming up out of the ground and then opening up and turning a yeah. And I feel like when every time I'm working with somebody, that's what I'm doing. I'm watching the flower of mental health bloom in that person.
That's a beautiful analogy. You know, that it's just, it is because, and everybody opens at a different speed. Like some say like locked up for a long time, but if they hang around long enough, and you keep pointing them toward their health, they start to feel better, even though what they came in with might still be a problem. The rest of their life gets better. So that's what makes this totally different in the field, is that it's not the doing of it. So if you're focused on doing, you're caught up in the old way of looking at things. It's just understanding. And once we get an understanding of how this thing works, we can use it. Like when I understood that microwaves work through radio waves, I could get one and use it to cook my food with. But I had to get an understanding of what it was in order to use it. So understanding how thought works, understanding that we have innate health, understanding that we are pure love, that's what love is a word that describes the energy of all things as it comes through each one of us.
Before thought.
Before thought.
Mm-hmm. Before thought. Before we think our way away from it accidentally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really think that for me and so many people that I've known over the years, just knowing that you're safe. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, that you can be safe in your own consciousness. You can be safe in the knowledge that you can make of life whatever you want to make of it. And you can be safe in the knowledge that wisdom will save the day, you know, that your wisdom will keep you safe is an incredibly beautiful thing. And it frees you up. You're not afraid. You know, I used to worry, like every time I made a decision about, you know, taking a job or starting something or doing something or working with a certain client that was known to be difficult or something, I would worry about it. And I'd think, oh, what am I going to have to face and all this stuff? And, you know, that all went away when I learned this, because I thought that's just my insecure thinking. It has nothing to do with the situation. You know, I can trust that if I stay calm and I keep my wits about me and keep my bearings, I'll know what to do. Mm-hmm. And your life is so different. It's hard when we talk about coming from wisdom and people think, oh, you have to be sitting on a mountain contemplating or, you know, wearing robes or something. Mm-hmm. But wisdom is just common sense that arises in the moment. And it's a new idea. It's something you hadn't thought of before. Mm-hmm. The difference between wisdom and figuring out is the only thing you have to figure out with is what you already know. Mm-hmm. And wisdom is the doorway to the unknown that you haven't thought of yet. Mm-hmm. But if you are open to it, it comes to you.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's like a great safety net. I was listening to public radio the other day, and they were doing TED Talks, and this woman was talking about her mother. And her mother is totally blind now from cataracts. And so she was describing how she went through the house and how she never ran into anything. And she would use her sense of touch to get around the house. And then she talked about, as a young girl, she was a trapeze artist. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she did with her partner was blind trapeze. So they would both wear blinds over their eyes, and they would flip through the air and grab each other's hands. You know, and they were able to do that without having their eyes. And in a sense, it's kind of like letting yourself trust in that deeper intelligence that you can get through life. And that's, she said, that's what her mother was so comfortable with her blindness, because she saw that she could rely on herself.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, can you imagine that, being in on a trapeze and not being able to see your partner and just having to have total faith in that? But that's kind of life, right? We are always going into the unknown, and we're always doing things that we've never done before, but we get caught up in the past and then we get afraid. But if you let go of that and really trust yourself, it's amazing what you can do, what human beings do. I mean, I don't know that I could do that, but I'm not a trapeze artist. So, you know, it's but there's a lot of people that say, oh, I could never be a therapist, because how can you listen to people's problems, or how do you know what to say to them? And I said, well, I don't listen to their problems, and I know what to say because my wisdom comes in and tells me what to say. I don't have to think about it. And as a young therapist, they used to terrify me because I thought I should know what they did, and I didn't even know what I should do.
That's the truth. I had that same experience as a consultant. People would ask me these complicated questions, and I'm thinking, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I would do if I were doing that, and I'm not you. But, you know, you'd always have to come up with something. And it was a big relief to me to discover that you could point people to their own wisdom and they would know what to do.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it took some of the pressure off you.
and it makes you look so good as a helper, because you come up with these great ideas far beyond what you could come up with.
Yeah. I have a funny story about that. I used to go to a gym, and when I lived in Lacana, Washington, that had this horrible machine. It was a double treadmill. So there was one machine and there were two people facing each other on the treadmill. So if you got on the treadmill and somebody got across from you, you're operating on the same motor.
Oh my God.
But you're right there face to face, you know, and I hated that, but sometimes it was the only one that was left. And so I'm there on the treadmill one day, and this woman gets on the treadmill and she's talking about, oh, I just came back from my therapist. Most of the time I prefer not to talk while I'm trying to breathe, but I just came back from my therapist, and, you know, I don't know what it is. I mean, this has been a problem for years, that these tapes are playing in my head, and I just don't know what to do about these tapes and everything. And I'm listening to her talk about the tapes endlessly. And finally, I just looked at her and I said, so who's pressing the button on the tape machine? And she's on the treadmill and she's going on and she says, oh my God, it's me. And so here's the funny part. So she has this incredible insight, you know, and then she stops talking. She gets off the treadmill. I get off the treadmill, and she runs up to the lady runs the program at the gym. And she says, that is the best machine, that treadmill. She said, I just had the biggest breakthrough of my life. I just love that treadmill. And the only thing I could say is that I was truly grateful that she wasn't attributing it to me, because I never had to talk to her again. It was so funny.
Gosh.
But, you know, we're always looking for an outside reason. And the fact is that she just, something clicked.
Yeah.
For her.
Yeah.
And she saw beyond the thinking that had troubled her all those times.
Yeah.
So that's how it works, you know, that when you see it, you see it, and then, you know, you're so free. But there's always more to see.
Always
and all we are is that we're the people pointing to where to look.
That's right. Yeah. So again, just get a feel for how does this work in me? How do I work? How do I create my reality? And then do your life, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But don't learn something to do to help other people.
Yeah.
You don't know what they should do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got to take care of yourself and trust that your wisdom will come through and tell you what to change in your life or what to do differently.
Mm-hmm. And no matter what you're involved in, it'll help you in that moment. You know, it can help you to cook.
It
doesn't make any difference. You don't have to be a therapist to help people and to help yourself.
That's right.
And so you don't want to think of this as a profession. This is an understanding that makes life beautiful and wonderful as you see it.
Mm-hmm. And that understanding changes the way you see your profession.
Exactly.
Yeah. So have fun with that, boys and girls.
Yes, please do. And we'll talk to you soon.
Aloha.
Okay, bye-bye.
We hope you heard something new and that you will continue to join us to challenge the prevailing thinking about the possibilities for health in everyone. To subscribe to the podcast, visit our website at psychologyhasitbackwards.com.